Isaiah 41 and verse number 10. I want to speak to you on something that's very dear to my heart that God showed me a little while ago that I think will be a help. Isaiah 41 verses 10 through 13. The Bible says this, "Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Behold, all they that were incensed against thee shall be ashamed and confounded. They shall be as nothing, and they that strive with thee shall perish. Thou shalt seek them, and shalt not find them. Even them that contended with thee, they that war against thee shall be as nothing, as a thing of naught." Verse 13, "For I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, Fear not, I will help thee." And let's pray together. Father, we ask now that you'll bless tonight, Lord, help what's said to help others. Father, I need you. I pray for your help. In Jesus' name, amen. One of the most wonderful things about the Lord is the fact that he doesn't just leave us on earth to fend for ourselves after he saved us. We have a wonderful Heavenly Father. We really do. And he's so gracious and so merciful and so wonderful. And I hope that as his child, you have a relationship with him. One of the worst things we can do as a parent is not have a relationship with our children. And one of the worst things we can do as a Christian is not have a relationship with our Heavenly Father. And so I hope that we as Christians, we build our relationship. Relationships are built on experience. I met my wife, and I'll tell you a little bit more about it in a little bit, but I met my wife, and as we grew together, we grew in love together, and love is based on experience. The more you spend time with someone, hopefully, the more you want to be with them, and therefore, you grow in that, and you build a relationship with them to where you want to be with them all the time. And so we as God's people need to build a relationship with God. God gave us this book. It's not a book of rules. It's a book so that we can know our God and have a relationship with Him. It's so that we can understand Him and know why He does things and know why He allows things and know why our lives are the way that they are. And that's why God gave us this book. So that we can have a relationship with Him. It's not just a bunch of thou shalt nots or thou shalts or you got to do this this way or you got to do it that way. It's so that we can have a relationship with our Heavenly Father. And the more our relationship grows with the Father, the less we'll want to disappoint them or Him. I want our young people in our Bible college to get to know me. Not because I'm somebody, but because I love them and I want them to reach their potential for Jesus Christ. And I want them to get to a point that when we want to do something, when the college students want to do something that's against the rules, I hope somebody says, no, that'll disappoint Brother Ewing. That'll disappoint Pastor Jenkins. That'll disappoint our Heavenly Father. Because we don't want to disappoint them. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5, the Bible says this, "Let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as ye have, for He has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." Our Father will never leave us. James chapter 4, verse 8, you know the verse, "Draw nigh to God and He will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded." We are to draw nigh to God and then He will draw nigh to us. Let me tell you this evening that you are as close to God as you want to be. You're as close to God as you want to be. Because He's right there waiting for us. He is longing. The Creator of the universe, the God who created you and everything else we see, wants to have a relationship with you. And it's pretty incredible. It's pretty incredible. And because of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, we can have that relationship. And that's a wonderful thing. Don't take it lightly. We're too cavalier sometimes with our Christianity. We just take it lightly. Okay, I'm on my way to heaven. Woohoo. Okay, let's move on. Move on from what? What else is there? What better thing is there than knowing for sure that we're on our way to heaven when we die? It doesn't get any better than that. You say, well, preacher, what about the mansion and the street of gold? Hey, listen, that's all a byproduct of trusting Christ as our Savior. We'll get there someday, and we'll see it all someday, and our jaws will drop someday because of it. But in the meantime, let's just enjoy the relationship we can have with God. Draw nigh to Him, and He'll draw nigh to us. He's there for us in every situation, no matter what it is. When we need Him, He'll be there for us. When we don't think that we need Him, He's always there working, though we may not know it. We serve a wonderful Savior who cares for us and who loves us in spite of ourselves. Isaiah chapter 41, the Lord is speaking to the children of Israel, and He's telling them that He'll be there for them. In verse number 10, the Bible says this, "Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness." The Lord will hold up His people with His right hand of righteousness. This is a promise that's not just for the people of Israel, but it's also for those who are saved because we've been grafted into the family of God. The Bible tells us in Romans chapter 11 that we've been grafted into the family of God. And because of that, we can claim the promises that are given in the Old Testament. Listen very carefully. When we got saved, we were adopted, according to Galatians chapter 4, into the family of God. Therefore, we are heirs with Christ, and whatever has been promised to Israel, the Bible has also been promised to us. Now, we haven't taken the place of God's people. But because of our salvation, we can claim the promises. And the Bible says in Isaiah 41:10, "Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I, thy God, I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness." The Bible also says this in verse number 13 of Isaiah 41, "For I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, Fear not, I will help thee." Now the Bible says that God will uphold us with His right hand. And it also says that God will hold our right hand. Now I want to illustrate something. I asked Josiah to come and help me. You hold hands with your wife once in a while when she lets you. It's a good thing. How many of y'all husbands, you hold hands with your wives? That's so cute. She likes it too. She likes it. It gives her a sense of security. And it allows you to keep her from going into the store. How many of you guys, honestly, how many of you guys, you've been in the store before and you're walking and you're talking to your wife and you turn around and she's gone? Amen, yeah. And then you look stupid because the people around you think you're talking to yourself. Way to go, wives. But you hold hands with your wife. Come over here so everybody can see us. I'm not going to hold his hand, but when you hold a hand with your wife, I hold his wrist. When you hold, and you walk and you do this, don't you? And you're walking. He loves it when I do this. And you hold her hand and you stroll or you go for a walk. Or you walk in a store. Now the Bible says that God upholds us with His right hand and He holds our right hand. So God takes His right hand and He holds our right hand. Now if we were to do that with our wives, just stay there, it would be like this, which would be awkward, wouldn't it? You can't walk like that. You can't stroll down the sidewalk with your wife and you're holding her right hand with your right hand. You'd be tripping over each other. And here's what God says. He says, "I'm taking my right hand and I'm going to hold your right hand." Now look here, the only way that's going to work is if somebody's in the lead. And God says, if you just go with me, I'll protect you. If you just go with me, I'll take care of you. If you just let me take my right hand and hold your right hand, and you let me take you on a journey, it's going to be okay. Have a seat right there. But let me explain something to you. The journey The journey he wants to take us on is not the journey that sometimes we want to go on. But God is not interested in your agenda. God is interested in his agenda. And God wants us closer to him. And he's going to allow things in our lives that are not going to cause us to be closer to him. When something happens in our lives, and we'll look at it in a minute, the God promises that God gives us, but when something happens in our lives, we only have two choices. One is get close to God, or one is run away from God. If you're not getting closer to God, if you're not drawing nigh to God, he's not getting closer to you, and therefore you're further apart. So those are the only two choices we have. Young people, look at me. If you're 20 years old and younger, 25 and younger, let me tell you something. Your life is not going to turn out the way you thought it would. Now, that's not necessarily a bad thing. Okay, and I didn't say that to scare you. But every person in here, 45 or older, can tell you that there are things that happened in their life that they never dreamed of, that they never thought would happen, but they stayed close to God, and it's turned out okay. And that's the key. Staying close to God. If there's one thing I've learned over the years of ministry is that living by principle is more important than living by emotion. Amen. Because living by principle will guide us and help us make good decisions when we are emotional. Because living by principle, by Bible principle, is way more important than what I feel like. You say, Brother Ewing, it's hard. Yes, it can be. I'll lose friends. Yes, you can. But that doesn't mean it's wrong. That means we're just supposed to do what we're supposed to do and let God take care of the rest of it. I love these young people, but I tell them, I'm not going to be your Holy Spirit. I don't have time to. I don't follow our college students around town to find out what they're doing and how they're doing it. I don't have time. I just don't. And I don't want to have time. I have a family. Amen. I don't have time for that. When my children became young adults in Bible college, I didn't have time to follow them around. But I asked them to live by principle and do what they're supposed to do, no matter what. And then we trust God that everything's going to work out okay. Sometimes we have to make hard decisions. But if we make them in the way God wants us to make them and we let him lead us through it, it's going to turn out okay. Let's quote a Bible verse together. Trust in the Lord with all thine and lean not on thine own. Where we get into trouble is when we trust it, we lean on our own understanding. Well, I think we ought to do it this way. Well, if it goes against the Bible, it won't work. It may in our heads. But it won't turn out the way we want it to. So what are you trying to say? I'm trying to say that God will take us on a journey and we need to follow him. And the journey that he leads us on, we just need to let God take care of it. Now some of you are thinking. I can tell by the look on your face. And you're saying, and some of you are saying right now, yeah, I'm on a journey and I ain't liking it so much. Not enjoying it so much right now. But that's okay as long as you're staying close to the Lord. Let's look at the Bible. Let's look at Isaiah 41 verse 10 again. Let's look at our text verses. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of thy righteousness. Behold, all they that were incensed against thee, those are the bad guys, shall be ashamed and confounded. They shall be as nothing, and they that strive with thee shall perish. Thou shalt seek them and shalt not find them. Even them that contended with thee, they that war against thee shall be as nothing and as a thing of naught. For I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, fear not, I will help thee. Here's what God's saying. when the enemies come and the fight comes. Now, I'm not talking about each other. We don't fight against flesh and blood, do we? We fight against what? Principalities and powers. We don't fight against flesh and blood. So I can't fight that battle. Do you understand that there's battles out there that are being fought that God never intended for us to fight? We just need to let Him fight them. How do we do that? We say, okay, Lord, You're in charge. And He keeps us real close. And He might let us fight a little bit. Prayer, fasting, reading our Bible, listening to good preaching, listening to good singing, getting our spirit helped and getting it uplifted. But by and large, the battle is the Lord's. And if He's holding our right hand and we're following Him, we can beat up anybody. Look, I was always the smallest guy in the neighborhood. There were the Covell brothers, Greg Yingling, Joe Hastings, Jim DuBry, my brother, and then me. We had a get-together a few years ago. You can sit down, thanks. We had a get-together a few years ago. And I'm looking at it. Now, not all of them was there, but I said, why did you guys even let me hang out with you? Because they were all older than me. They said, because we needed somebody to beat up. That's no lie. I'll give you their phone numbers. They're on Facebook. You can message them. Bill Covell beat me up probably once a month. He'll tell you he don't remember, but I do. One day, I played football. Well, I was on the football team. You guys, you know what that means. I played end guard and tackle. You've heard that, sat on the end of the bench. Guarded the water and tackled anybody that got near it. And we had practice, and I remember like it was yesterday, and we had practice, and I'm down in the locker room, I'm getting changed, and some guy comes, one of my teammates comes and says, hey, there's a guy named Bill out here, says when you come out, he's going to beat the snot out of you. I knew what that meant. That meant I was going to get the snot beat out of me, because he's bigger than me. I could flail all I want to and try to hit him, and it wouldn't do any good. He was going to beat me up. Just the way it was. I mean, that was the pecking order. And I said, is there a big red Pontiac sitting out there? He said, let me go check. He goes out, he comes back, he says, yeah. I said, okay, cool. I'm fine. He goes, why? He says, that's my dad. Bill ain't going to beat me up with my dad sitting there. You know what we need? We just need to trust the Lord and let Him beat up the enemy. Amen. I don't know you, and you're getting to know me because I'm talking a lot. But let me just ask you a question. Are you battling for your kids, Mom and Dad? Where's your prayer spot? See, it's not my responsibility to protect my children, because I can't. My kids aren't with me right now. I like your shirt, by the way. My kids aren't with me right now. I can't protect them. They went to school. I couldn't protect them. That's God's responsibility. How do you keep the devil away from your kids? Oh, Lord, please help Adam and his wife Ashton. Help Josh and his wife Leah and Madeline and Tyler. Help Katie and Jacob. And help Bethany. And then I go on down the list of kids that aren't really mine, but I claim them. See, the battle's the Lord's. Husband, how much you pray for your wife? God, give her wisdom. Give her discernment. whether she's a stay-at-home mom or has a job. Kids, how often do you pray for your mom and dad? Help them to make good decisions. Help them to be spiritual. And on and on and on we could go. I hope you pray for your pastor. Because the battle's not mine. It's the Lord's. Because I can't win. I need my Heavenly Father to lead me through the battle. And you know what will happen? We won't even know, preacher, where the enemies are anymore. We won't remember their names. We won't know what happened to them. Because God took care of them. He's the one who will win the battles for us. Other than Rahab the harlot, name me one person from Jericho when the walls fell. Name me one. Nobody? You know why? The Bible doesn't tell us their names. You know why? Because it don't matter. It don't matter. Because they were the enemy. And God fought that battle. Don't be surprised if God doesn't ask us to do some pretty strange things in order for Him to win a battle for us. Like pray for those who despitefully use us. When was the last time you prayed for that person you can't stand? That you know doesn't like you. That you know was critical of you. I had somebody just the other day. They were going through a situation, and I know the situation. I know the person they're talking about. I know them personally. And they said, they're spreading rumors about me. They can't stand me. I said, what are you going to do? They said, I'm going to pray for them every day. I said, you got it. Because the battle's the Lord's. How are we going to win people to Christ? It's not us. Let's stop selling Jesus to people and start praying for people and showing people who Jesus is and let them get saved. Amen. I'm a lousy salesman. I tried to sell rainbow vacuum cleaners one time. I lived in Point Pleasant, West Virginia. And they sent me to these trailers with holes in the floor. And I'm like, these people can't even afford to fix the hole in the floor. How are they going to afford this vacuum cleaner that you have to make payments on? So basically, I showed them how it worked, and I packed up, and I said, where are you going? You don't need this. You need a carpenter. You don't need a vacuum cleaner. You wouldn't have anything on your floor after this thing got done. I'm just saying that, listen, the battle's the Lord's. The battle's the Lord's. The Lord will lead us through. He'll lead us through. Look at Isaiah 43, and we'll be done here in a little while. You've had Pastor Jenkins here before. You know that means absolutely nothing. One more point, and we'll be done. I'm not being critical of our pastor. I just love him to death. Isaiah, so many things running through my mind. Isaiah 43, verse 1. But now, thus saith the Lord, that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. Listen to this. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. Through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned. Neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. I gave Egypt for thy ransom, Ethiopia and Seba for thee. God says that He will not only will He lead us through battle, but He leads us into comfort. He leads us into comfort. Look at the verse. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. Through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. And here's the thing that we think about. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned. Neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. Now, what a great promise that is. What do we say when somebody's going through a difficult time? Man, they're going through it. Through what? Through the fire. And God says, if you just let me lead you through there, you'll come out unscathed. You'll come out unscathed. I went to Hiles Anderson College in 1980. And my first year of Bible college, at the end of the first year, preacher, I got a phone call that Grandpa was sick. My mom's dad needed to go to the hospital. Don't know why. To this day, don't know why. But my mom called and said, hey, if you just come home and talk to Grandpa, she said, he'll listen to you. I was in Bible college, preacher boy, you know. And so Grandpa wasn't saved that we knew of. So I drove the 4 hours home to Toledo, Ohio, went to the hospital, Toledo Hospital, and went to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, went and saw Grandpa. Grandma was there, and Mom and I went, and Mom took Grandma to get her a bite to eat for lunch. It was just me and Grandpa, and I remember like it was yesterday. I pulled the curtain shut, and I said, Grandpa, I don't know why you're here, but it looks pretty scary to me. And Grandpa wasn't much of a talker. He liked to flick people's ears. He'd flick your ear, you know, while he's standing behind you, and you turn around and goes, what, me? Oh, well, then who was it? You're the only one standing there. And he thought it was funny, so we played the game, you know. But I said, Grandpa, it looks scary. I don't know what's going on here. I said, but Grandpa, do you know for sure that you're going to heaven when you die? And he said no, and I gave him the gospel, and tear trickled down his face, and he prayed and asked Jesus to save him. Man, we were excited. Told my preacher, told my parents, told everybody at church Grandpa got saved. Drove the 4 hours home after church Sunday night, or back to college. And of course, we didn't have cell phones back then. I know they get tired of hearing that. The other day, they're like, sorry, we were born in the 21st century, because we were staying somewhere they didn't have cell phone service, and it's like their right arm was cut off. But I got a message to call home, and I called home and got a hold of, called Collect. Amen. Remember Collect? Young people on a phone that, you know, push button. If you go to the museum, they probably have them there, or a rotary phone. Ask your Google it. And so I got the message. I called home, and my mom said Grandpa passed away that morning, less than 24 hours after he got saved. We were excited that he got saved, but sad, you know, that he passed away. My second year of Bible college, I went back to school, and again, toward the end of school, I got a phone call. My junior year of high school, my mom got cancer and had surgery and was in remission, but it came back. In my second year of Bible college, toward the end, it got bad. And again, I got a message, call home, and I tried to call my dad, tried to call my pastor, and finally I got a hold of my pastor's wife, and she said, you and your sister, just if you want to see your mom before she passes, you need to get home. So we packed things up, took our last final, packed things up, drove straight to the hospital. Mom was in and out of a coma, spent the night in the hospital that night she passed away. That was rough. The roughest part was leaving Dad. You know, go back to college. He made my sister go. Said, you started, you finish. He never let us quit anything. He stood crying on the front porch, waving goodbye to us. I said, thanks, Dad. That's a good memory. But he's waving goodbye to us while he's crying, go finish college. My third year of Bible college, my grandma passed away. I was afraid to go back. While I was in college, man, I met the girl for me. I mean, I remember our first time I asked her out. She was walking down the middle hallway, and God planned it out that it was just me and her. If other people were there, I didn't know it. I was a little focused on one thing, you know what I'm saying? She'd come walking down the aisle, or the hallway, down the aisle later, but down the hallway. Come walking down the hallway, and girls, how many of y'all single girls, raise your hand. Raise your hand real high. Come on now, don't be ashamed. Okay, listen. The first word out of his mouth if he's going to ask you out is what? Get ready because it's coming. You know, and he'll fill it around a little bit. And then finally, bleh, out it comes, you know. And I did the same thing. And I remember the first activity, and we dated for 2 years, and God let us get married and had a little boy. He's now 30 years old. Went to Beckley, West Virginia, and was youth pastor there for a little bit. And there's a big story there I don't have time to get into. Then ended up in Point Pleasant, West Virginia, where my second son was born, Joshua. And after he was born, preacher, my wife got the flu and couldn't get over it. Went to the doctor, who was very good friends of ours, and he listened to her heart, and he walked away, and he came back, he listened again, and he stared out the window for a little bit, and he said, if I didn't know you just gave birth, I mean, Josh was just an infant, he'd say, I'd swear you'd have 5 heart attacks, listen to your heart. And we find out that she had a heart disease. And it's 3-4 big long words. I don't even know what they are right now. So they put her on medicine, and in the process of time, a few months later, God allowed us to move up to northern Michigan, not to Gaylord, but a little town called Mio, M-I-O, Mio, Michigan, Oscoda County, to a little startup church there. And we were there for, 6 months or so, and had a little small Christian school, ACE school. My wife was going to go help in the school. Went home for lunch, was going to stay home with the boys. She sat down. We had lunch together. She got up, went in the bathroom, and got ready. She sat down next to me and slumped to the floor. 31 years old. Tried to do CPR, called it. We had a party line. That tells you where we were at in Michigan. We were next to nowhere. Picked up the phone. Nobody else was on the line. Called the sheriff department. They came, ambulance came, but she was gone. Gone. I knew it. Took my boys to the Christian school. They weren't old enough to go to school yet. Took the boys to the school, dropped them off with the teacher, went to the hospital about 30 minutes away, and watched him bring her in, gone. I said, Brother Ewing, what'd you do? Survived. But here's what I know God did. God took me on a journey. He said, come on, Greg, let's go somewhere. Amen. I'm going to take you on a journey, Greg, but it's not going to be what you expected. It's not going to be what you necessarily want. But if you just stick with me, Amen. If you just let me lead you, if you just let me lead you, it's going to be okay. And all God did was this. God says, okay. You're going through a difficult time right now, so I gotcha. I gotcha. I'm holding your hand, but when the difficulties come, when the fire happens, you're not going to get burned. You're going to come out unscathed, and it's all going to be okay. Amen. It's all going to be okay if you just stick with me. Too many times we try to go through the fire by ourselves, and when we do get burnt, we blame God. And God says, if you'll just stick with me, I'll carry you through the fire. I'll carry you through the water. You won't drown. I'll take you where you need to go so that you can be more effective for me. See, your life is not for you. It's for somebody else. And if you haven't met that person yet that God specifically, I'm not talking about spouse, I'm talking about the person you're supposed to help. In your case, who was it? You told me earlier. It's Dewey. God brought them together on purpose. Who has God designed you for? Maybe it's just one. Maybe it's many. But even if it's just one, it's okay. Even if it's just one, it's okay. But your life is not for you. It's so that you can tell other people how God carried you through the fire. how God carried you or led you through the battle. See, that's what Christianity is for. Say, Brother Ewing, why did God allow all that to happen to you? So I could be here on this date at this time to help somebody. I had another sermon picked out. I went to Josiah. You can have a seat, buddy. I went to Josiah and said, here's what I think God wants me to preach. So I don't know who you are. I don't know if it's one or many. I don't know if you're an adult, a teenager, or a child. I don't know if you're a parent or a grandparent. But I do know this, that when the fire comes, you just need to stick close to God. When the enemies come, you need to let Him fight the battles. And then we can say, all things work together for good to them who love God and to those who are the called according to His purpose. If you love me, if we're doing the best we can to follow the Lord and do what He says, and we're doing what we think God has asked us to do in His service, it's all going to work out okay. It's all going to work out okay. It might be tough, but it's going to be okay if we just hold hands with God. That's going to be good. Let's pray. Father, You're so good to us.